Drink. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the 60th episode of Feel Good Friday. That's right, episode 60, episode 60 of FGF. We're here. We made it to our 60s. We're getting old. Feel Good Friday's getting old. We're breaking hips. We're playing pickleball. We're watching Murder, She Wrote reruns, Andy Griffith Show reruns, Gilligan's Island reruns, because none of those shows are on air anymore because they're old, just like this podcast. Oldies, but goodies, just like this podcast. Actually, episode 60 is not that old in the grand scheme of things. There are a lot more podcasts that are still super relevant that are on episode like 2050 fucking whatever. But we're here, episode 60, still chugging, still live, still kicking, still trucking, always trucking, listening to Kid Rock, some Uncle Cracker, some Nickelback, maybe a little bit of Hinder here and there. But glad we made it, glad we're still here. I'm proud of myself, as I always say. Super humble of me to say that, but I am, you know, sticking with things. It's not easy, especially when the numbers aren't quite there. However, maybe after this episode they will be, because on episode 60, we do have a new guest, comedian Joe Kelly, super funny guy. Obviously, he's a comedian. You kind of have to be funny. But I was going through Instagram, came across one of his reels, thought it was hilarious, ended up following him on there. So now I see his reels more often. He has a podcast. He just drops clips all the time of these random thoughts. Big advocate of eating ass. You know, I'm with you, buddy, on that one. So right away, I was like, I know. Well, honestly, the name. When I emailed him reaching out to be on this podcast, I said, hey, Joe or Joseph, in parentheses, great name, by the way. It's true. Joe's a great name. I know a lot of cool people named Joe. I know a couple shitty ones, but hey, there's bad apples in every batch. What are you going to do? I think Joe Kelly is one of the good ones. And Kelly, I'm indifferent about. I think it's an all right name. You know, it's not as cool as Kruger, but it's still decent. Joe Kelly's a great name. I just, you know, my last name isn't Kelly, so I have no affiliation. But it's fine. It's a fine name. But Joe, yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one for sure. But he was nice enough to respond back and set this up. So I'm excited for this. Excited to get to learn more about him. We'll talk about, you know, his upcoming. He's a bit of a journeyman. You know, started in Flint, Michigan. He was in Maui for a bit. Nashville. I think he's currently in Atlanta. All over the place. He lived 3 years in a van that he bought. He purchased this van to travel the country, and the van's called Goldie. But now I think he's settled down in Atlanta. Still doing comedy, still great. He started in 2012. But anyway, we'll get to it. We'll get to it all. I'm just excited because, you know, it's cool to be able to see someone on Instagram that you're like, oh my God, this person's really funny. This person's really cool, whatever. And then you say, why not? Let me reach out to them. The worst that can happen is they don't respond. And I'm lucky enough to have Joe Kelly respond. And now he's going to be on the podcast today, and I'm very excited. Still haven't upgraded my Zoom to Pro. You know, three dogs and a baby. There's lots of bills out there. Groceries. That's a lot of mouths to feed. You know, got to buy drinks at the bar. I got a big belly to fill. There's a lot of things going on. So, still haven't upgraded to Pro because at the moment, this is still a bit of a hobby more than an actual occupation. I'm not taking this too seriously. I'm still making a penny per stream. I'm just having fun with it. I've told everyone before, like, I'm just having fun with it. I'm not fucking like, this podcast has to work out. I have to get the best guests ever. Now, do I get some of the coolest guests ever? I do. Joe Kelly included. But I'm not like up all night, you know, just waiting for people to respond. I know that it's not always going to work out, but some of them do, and that's awesome. And if it doesn't, it's whatever. This podcast is not my life. I love doing it, but it's not my life. My life is outside of the podcast. My life is Finnegan. My life is Cassie. My life is my family, my friends, my dogs, my job, a little bit here and there. Sprinkles of my job are part of my life. This is just fun. I really enjoy doing this. You could honestly, I don't think they paid, they didn't, because I didn't do the ads at first. So at first, I wasn't making any money. I was just doing this because I wanted to do it. And don't give me, I'm saying that like I make a lot of money now. I don't. But I do make some money now. Cashed out before we went to Florida. That bought me half a beer down there. What are you going to do? Anyway, my point is, I'm doing this because I love it. And days like today where I get to interview people that I find funny / interesting are part of the reason why I love it. Like, if I wasn't doing this podcast, well, I would just reach out and be like, hey, I'm a big fan, and then they'd say thank you, and that'd be it. No, and I get to have a full-on conversation with this guy, and I'm excited about it. So there's that. Before we get to Joe Kelly, I just wanted to run down... Actually, yeah, you know what, I'm going to do it, because I got plenty of stuff to talk about in the next episode on my own anyway. Let's do a little Oscars recap. The Oscars did happen, 95th Academy Awards. It's weird that it's under, I feel like it's been around for over 100 years, but only the 95th. First off, there were two things I was bummed about, two big ones. No slap this year. I was expecting Will Smith to kind of like sneak in and show up on stage, cause a big thing. Didn't happen. That was, you know, granted that was my wildest dreams, but still a dream. A man can dream, and that's what I dreamt. Oh, fuck. Okay, we're good. Let's get past that. We'll fix that in post. No, we won't. So no slap. Bit of a boring, you know, bummer there. And Top Gun Maverick did not win Best Picture. So, 0 for 2 on things I was secretly rooting for to happen. Although Top Gun Maverick was not a secret, I really wanted that to win. I think out of all the other movies that got nominated, Top Gun Maverick was kind of that, obviously it was, you know, it's a blockbuster movie. It's not one of these little indie movies that's like, you know, you see at the film festival. No, Top Gun Maverick is this badass, action-packed blockbuster. Tom Cruise, arguably the biggest movie star ever. And I think there's a difference between the greatest actor ever and the greatest movie star ever. And I think you could put Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Harrison Ford, people like that in the greatest movie star category ever. So he's up there. And then, you know, obviously Miles Teller. It's just such a, it was such a fun movie. And it made people go to the movies, because this is kind of after COVID is dying down. People are still a little scared. People went to the movies to see Top Gun Maverick. It reignited this love for movies that a lot of people had lost. A lot of people were going to the theaters. They weren't waiting for streaming. They had to see it in theaters. And I think that's a beautiful thing. However, the Best Picture went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, I try not to get too wrapped up in these award shows, because it's like, yeah, just because best, you know, fuck. Top Gun didn't win Best Picture doesn't mean that it can't be the best picture to me. To me, out of the ones that were nominated, I think it should have won. So it was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Kind of sounds like a song. Was the one that won. And there was Top Gun. There was Women Talking. Frances McDormand isn't like, it's hard to beat her. Everything she does is great. The Banshees of Inisherin, probably not saying that right, but that got nominated for a lot. I don't know how much it won. Colin Farrell was up for Best Actor, and a lot of people thought he was going to be this kind of dark horse to win that. Triangle of Sadness, wow, that sounds like a really, really good time. The Fabelmans, All Quiet on the Western Front. Avatar The Way of Water got nominated for Best Picture. Don't know if I agree with that. Again, you heard me talk about the Avatar world, or Pandora, in my Disney recap. I love, like, it's a really cool place. But Best Picture? But then people might say that about Top Gun Maverick too, so whatever. To each their own. Elvis was up there. I don't know if Elvis is as good as everyone's making it. Like, it was, granted, I love Elvis. And I think Austin Butler did an amazing job. But, like, the movie itself, I don't know if it's best picture worthy. And then Tar was up there as well. Tar, super, super funny film. Kidding. Best actor, though, did not go to Colin Farrell for the Banshees of Ed Sheeran, whatever. It went to Brendan Fraser for The Whale. Brendan Fraser, our guy, won for The Whale. Super excited. I'm surprised he didn't win for Looney Tunes Back in Action, but what are you going to do? I think he should be a multiple Oscar winner at this point. Looney Tunes Back in Action, Encino Man, Airheads, Bedazzled, obviously The Mummy, 1, 2, and 3. But he won his first one, and I'm glad he did because he's a good guy, and Hollywood chewed him up and spat him out for a bit, and he's coming back up. He's just finger down the throat. He's coming back up, you know? And now he's, here he is. He got puked up on the Oscar stage, and now he's an Oscar winner. You know, he's in similar company with some of the greatest actors of all time, and I love that for him. Austin Butler did get nominated for Elvis. I'm glad he got nominated. I thought he did a really good job because, again, outside of his performance and the fact that it was about Elvis, it wasn't the greatest movie, but it is what it is. Bill Nighy got nominated for Living, and Paul Mescal got nominated for After Sun. Haven't even heard of it. Haven't even heard of Living. I used to be really into the Oscars, and I would try to find everything that got nominated and watch it, at least for like the big categories, but I'm just, you know, it's hard these days, so I don't do that. Michelle Yeoh, something like that. She won Best Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Everything Everywhere All at Once kind of dominated, at least the big categories. Won Best Actress. I think it won Best Supporting Actor. Ki Hua Kwan. Damn it, I'm probably saying that wrong too. I apologize. But him and Brendan Fraser won, and they were both an Encino Man. So, wow. Encino Man producing some Oscar winners. Pauly Shore is next. Pauly Shore will go before Sean Astin. Mark my words. Pauly Shore is going to have some role that everyone's like, oh, it's Pauly Shore. And then they're going to see it and they're going to be like, oh my God, Pauly Shore touched my heart. And probably my ass, but maybe my cock. Yeah, beat out Brendan Gleeson. Beat out Barry Keoghan, both nominated for the Banshees of Ed Sheeran. Best Supporting Actress was Jamie Lee Curtis. Glad for her. Stoked for her. Everything Everywhere All at Once was the movie she was in. Didn't even know she was in that. Gonna be honest, was surprised when I found out she was. Thought it was a mostly Asian casted film. And I'm like, Jamie Lee Curtis? She's not Asian. She's Laurie Strode. What are you doing in Everything Everywhere All at Once? But she was in it, and she won the Oscar, and her first time winning, and I'm stoked for her. Arguably the greatest final girl, which is a horror term. A scream queen, if you will. I want Dairy Queen. But she beat out Angela Bassett for Wakanda Forever, Black Panther sequel, which, watched it again. Not that great. I'm sorry, I know it's like an emotional movie because Chadwick is gone and it was supposed to be this big tribute. It had its moments, it did, but overall I'm like, I don't know. Nothing special. Like, nothing I haven't seen before in the MCU. There were some cool action sequences for sure, but the blue people were too much like avatars. Like, it just didn't seem, it seemed like they were just like, all right, let's make the avatars, but a little more human and a little Native American as well. American, Mayan, Aztec, whatever they were. Oh, God, I'm just digging this hole and sounding worse and worse and worse. Best director, Daniel Kwan. I'm moving on. Yeah, in case you didn't see that. Best director was Daniel Kwan and Daniel Shenert. Why can't they just have normal names? Austin Butler, that's so easy. Daniel Shenert, they both directed Everything Everywhere All at Once. Big surprise, that one. Best animated feature was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which I was surprised about at first, and then I realized no Disney ones, because Disney ones will usually win. But the only Disney one that came out was Turning Red. That was even controversial to a lot of people. It wasn't controversial to me, but I also, I don't know, wasn't the biggest fan. So didn't really care about that one too much. There's a whole lot more categories. I'm not going to go into it. Those are the big ones. Everything. Oh my God, why can't I fucking say this name of this goddamn movie? Top Gun is so easy to say. I kind of sound racist when I'm like complaining about how easy like the American things are to say. And I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm just, it's the morning. I'm still waking up. Bear with me. I swear to God, it's just the morning. Haven't had my coffee yet, you know? I don't drink coffee. That was a lie. But Everything Everywhere All at Once dominated, clearly. Going to be honest, haven't seen it. Well, I'll look for it on streaming. I will. See what all the hype is about. But I stand behind Top Gun Maverick. And I'm happy Brendan Fraser won, though. Because I've always liked him. And I was bummed when I, you know, didn't see him in movies anymore because I saw him in a lot of movies growing up. And then he just wasn't. And then I heard about his story, and it's a really sad story. And now for him to make this comeback and win the biggest award you could win as an actor, pretty cool. So I am Team Brendan Fraser. Not Team Fraser. I'm not Kelsey Grammer. You're fine, but I didn't grow up watching Fraser. I grew up watching Brendan Fraser because I watched The Mummy a lot. And I watched Airheads and Encino Man and all the movies I named before. Anyway, glad he won. Bummed Top Gun did not win. Not upset. Everything Everywhere All at Once dominated. I'm sure it's a fine movie. And if it's on streaming somewhere, maybe I'll watch it. But until then, I'm Team Top Gun. And that was my best picture of the year. Yeah, I think it was. I'll have to go through and try to remember what I watched. Because as a horror fan, it's like it's easy for a horror movie to be my favorite. Like, you know. Not Skin and Marink, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, we'll do a little rapid fire movie review in the next episode that I do on my own. But for today, Joe Kelly. So get ready to laugh, or maybe it'll be a serious interview. Maybe we'll have some heart-to-heart and we'll have a breakthrough. So get ready to cry. Maybe nothing will go on at all. So get ready to just listen. That's not good. I'm not hyping this up well, am I? It's going to be a good interview, I promise you. I got questions that I'm ready to ask that I think are interesting. Hopefully you find them interesting. And then after the interview, I'm sure you're going to be a fan of Joe Kelly just the way I was after I saw his first clip. Follow him. He's on all these social media platforms. Super funny guy. You won't regret it, I promise you. This has been a 19-minute intro. I got to stop. I got to stop with these long intros. I'm overdoing it. I'm blowing my load way too early. This is a little preemie podcasting right here, and I got to stop. So I'm gonna take my hand off my dick so that to avoid similar outcome. C-U-M. That was a joke. All right, I'm done. Joe Kelly is up next. Enjoy. Hope my Oscars recap wasn't filled with bigotry. I wasn't trying for it to be. I'm just an idiot. So I apologize for my stupidity. Onward, Joe Kelly. Can't wait. All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 60 of Feel Good Friday. It's a big one, 6-0. So I have a very funny guest on, comedian Joe Kelly. Joe, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me. 60, big deal. I like the round numbers. That makes me feel important for some reason.
I don't know. The fives and the zeros are the big ones. So, I mean, we got you on 60. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Now, I looked into your bio. First off, I saw one of your clips on Instagram. That's how I first discovered you. It was you talking to a heckler, and the caption was "comedian flirts with heckler," and it was the Molly in I think Seattle.
Yeah. Well, the show was in Atlanta. We were doing it. That was at the Laughing Skull when I was living in Atlanta.
Okay.
But I was doing some bits about Seattle, and she piped in that she was from there. But yeah,
gotcha.
It's one of the things I'm prouder of is that clip for sure.
No, that's right there. I was like, you have like the charm about you, and obviously just super funny. And then I think look and style is super important. It's not just jokes and material. Like you have this, all right, so let's get into, because you're kind of like a journeyman. You've been all over the place.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about your accent because it's like a hint of Southern. And I know you're in Atlanta right now, but you started off in Flint, Michigan.
I'm from Flint, Michigan. I'm actually in Nashville. I moved back to Nashville last year.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So even Nashville, you would get that Southern kick to it.
To a degree, yeah. But, like, even all my family's still in Flint, too. But I lived in Washington, D.C. for a little bit, and I was dating a girl there. Mm-hmm. And I took her to meet my parents, and she would always kind of, because the twang would come out in me even before I lived in the South.
Yeah.
And then when she met my parents, like she met my mom, she's like, why does your mom sound like she's Southern? And it's like, I don't fucking know. That's just how we kind of talk, I guess.
But yeah.
There's always been a hint of it. And I think it has to just do with having a lazy jaw. And then when I moved to the South and when I moved to Nashville, it's like everyone's jaw is lazy. So it's like, oh, I don't even have to work that hard to say words anymore. It's perfect.
Lazy jaw. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find
out that good.
Yeah. Like even in the Midwest and up North, like there are sections of like Wisconsin and Indiana that it feels like you're in the South. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of a, redneck thing that I think than a regional thing, you know,
because yeah.
Rednecks you can find rednecks anywhere and everywhere, and I think when you're off the beaten path a little bit, I think people just get a lazier jaw and have some twang to them. Maybe I could be wrong about that, but I think you get that Southern accent, that redneck accent, I think you can pick it up most places. I don't think it's just a Southern thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's so you're one of the comedians that I watch, and the voice sounds so cool that I want to talk like that. I know I can't, like it's not, I'm 29 years old. Like I can't just change my voice now. Like that's not like Ron White is another one. He has such a cool voice. You know, I want to sound like Ron White. And then even in high school, I listened to Mitch Hedberg a lot. And there was like a solid month where I was just talking like Mitch Hedberg and everyone was weirded out by it. Cause you know, not everyone knew who he was. Were there any comedians growing up that you had like, or that had like a huge influence on you that kind of shaped your style?
Mitch Hedberg, for sure. Like yeah. Hedberg's my favorite, always has been. Mm. It was, I think I probably saw him for the first time when I was like 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And it's back when Comedy Central was doing Comedy Central Presents. They used to do Friday night stand-up. They play like 3 hours of stand-up, and that's when I got into it. But watching him, it was like, oh, man, this is something so different and just like a cool, laid-back guy.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, like people go, you know who Mitch Hedberg is. Like after shows, people will come up and go, you know who Mitch Hedberg is, right? And I go, oh, absolutely. They're like, you remind me of him. So
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of influence, I think, that Hedberg has had on me. And even when I first started doing open mics, I was pretty much doing Mitch Hedberg just because I didn't know what the fuck to do, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think everybody does that when they first start, but like if I had those first sets I did, I was just ripping off Mitch Hedberg.
Mm.
People do that with Dave Attell a lot just because he's like such a unique and he's so good at it, but you find a lot of Dave Attell type people all around. But
yeah.
Hedberg was probably the most influential one on me. And then when I moved to D.C., like I always knew who George Carlin was, but mm-hmm. when I got to D.C., I really got into Carlin.
So
I don't know how much he influences me. Obviously, I'm not as poignant and well thought out as he is, because his thing was a whole show. I like kind of the more choppy ADD style that Mitch Hedberg has, more so than anything else. But yeah, Hedberg's number one, dude. I think he's is just so different, so cool, and it's my favorite to this day is Mitch Hedberg. I was, it sucks there's only like three albums or whatever of his, but
I know,
you know,
that's something I think about, like if comedians like Mitch Hedberg or Greg Giraldo or George Carlin were like still around, like would they be into podcasts and all that stuff? Like a Mitch Hedberg podcast, I think would be the coolest thing ever. But you know,
it would be wild. It would be so interesting. And that's like, I don't know how familiar you are with Patrice O'Neill at all.
Oh yeah.
But I love Patrice. I don't know. I mean, I guess he's probably had some influence on me in some way, shape, or form. But that's always, anytime there's some drastic change in the world, it's like, oh, it'd be so great to have a Patrice O'Neill podcast in today's world, just for his, because he did, just his lack of tolerance for anything.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah.
It'd be like, it'd be so fun to have him doing some shit in 2023.
Yeah,
but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I looked at, again, did some research on you. You've worked with Tom Segura, Big J Okerson, Mark Norman. Those, I mean, there were many others too, but those are like three of my favorites. You got any crazy stories from the road? Or even more so than crazy stories, have they ever like given you any like really good advice? Like I love hearing some behind the curtain type of stuff.
Not so much from those three in particular. Mm-hmm. Nate Bargatze gave me some good advice once, and I've never officially worked with Nate, but I started doing comedy in Nashville, and Nate's from Nashville, but he lives around here or whatever. So we would do, there used to be a local show called Spiffy Squirrel, so I've done shows with him, and we kind of knew of each other. But whenever I was leaving Seattle, he was out there in Tacoma with another dude, Brian Bates. He's on Nate's podcast too.
Yeah.
But they were doing a weekend, and I know Brian. Like, I'm pretty tight with Brian, so he invited me down to come hang out. And so I got to spend like 20, 30 minutes just kind of talking with Nate, and you know, kind of having him get to know me a little bit. Because you know, when you're doing shows, it's all like you're thinking about your own jokes.
Yeah.
He's not like a, you know, he's not trying to like hang out and party with the local comics in Nashville. So it was the first time we got to spend time together.
Yeah.
I booked myself I spent 101 straight days on the road when I left Seattle. This was when I was living in my van. I booked it all myself.
Goldie, right?
I did like, yeah, old Goldie. Dude, you done your fucking research. That's awesome. Holy shit. I probably did like 80 something shows or whatever, but just talking to Nate, he was like, no matter, he's like, wherever you go, if you've never been there before, he's like, I know we always want to be working on new jokes, we always want to be doing this, but if you're there for the first time, crush. No matter what you do, show up and crush if you've never been there before. Don't worry about the new shit, get over yourself and just do that, you know what I mean? And it was like, oh, okay, because I always get, you know, you get bored with your shit and you don't want to keep doing it, but that's part of the work. It's like, Nate's a, you know, he's a theater act now, and now he's doing Bridgestone Arena or whatever, so it's maybe he knows what he's talking about. And then the other good advice I got was from Ron Funches. I worked with Ron Funches.
Oh, nice.
I was maybe 2 or 3 years in.
Yeah.
And it was the last night of the weekend. I drove him back to his hotel, and right before he got out, he just goes, don't give up. And I said, I won't. And he goes, I don't think you will. And that was, you know, that's it. Like, those are they. Like, show up, crush, and just don't stop.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, people might tell you about a joke here and there. Like, I was in, it's a couple weeks ago, I forget where we were, but I was with my buddy Aaron Weber opening for him, and Greg Warren was there. He did a guest spot, and he gave me a tag for a joke that has been working, but, you know, there's only so much advice you can give with comedy, and it is, like, just keep fucking, kill, and don't stop, because, you know, that's the funniest people that, like, I've met along the way, people, like, when I started off that I thought were hilarious, and it's like, why aren't you why aren't you making something out of this?
Yeah.
And it's because of that shit. It's because, you know, they give up on themselves and they just, you know, they see other people getting stuff and they go, oh, I'm funnier than them. And it's like, well, yeah, but they're working harder. So what the fuck do you want to do? You know what I mean? So that's like the best, the best advice.
Yeah.
The Tom Segura weekend, I wasn't even supposed to be working with him, actually. It was, do you know who Killer Bees is by chance?
The name rings a bell, but
dude,
not too familiar.
Old school Southern comedian, been doing it forever. If you ever, he like, he'll do like a 5:30 show on a Saturday. Like his audience is a little bit older, but to watch, that dude plays it like a violin. And man, that guy is a fucking monster. But Zany's, the club in Nashville, they were trying to do him a favor by having his son open for Tom Segura for the weekend.
Okay.
And he did the Thursday show, and they called me Thursday night and were like, hey, can you come work the rest of this weekend? Because it's not working out well.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So Killer Bees, he showed up. He told Tom Segura, Tom Segura, you know what I mean? He told Tom Segura that doing stand-up was the easy way to get where he's trying to be in life or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Wore a red leather jumpsuit. Looked like he was from the Thriller music video. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
It was just, so that's the only reason I got to work with Tom.
Yeah.
Was because somebody kind of fucked up and they're like, okay, let's get Joe in here. Oh, and then I met him. We did some shit in Atlanta, too. He popped through and did a show that I happened to be at. And,
But
I think the Nate advice and the Ron Funches advice. Other than that, people don't really. Big J told me to move to New York. That was his advice for me, but I don't want to fucking. I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know? But other than that, you know, it's not. You're not. I'm not really particularly looking for advice when I'm trying to work with these people. You just, you know, you try and pick their brains a little bit here and there. But other than that, you're just trying to hang out and make it. Just make it as easy as possible for them, really. I'm trying not to be a problem for anybody during their weekend.
Right.
That's pretty much my main goal.
Yeah. Not trying to be Killer Bees Jr.
Yeah. Not trying to fuck up the show. Not trying to belittle what you've been doing for 20 years and say, oh, this is easy.
Right.
You know?
it's a living. It's a lifestyle for people or a career or whatever. And yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. And it's not an easy path to take, you know. And this was, you know, and Tom, he's been doing it, you know, he's much bigger than he was then. He's not even, he doesn't really work clubs anymore. He's a theater act. But, you know, for somebody who's been doing it 20 years, just to kind of piss in their face more or less. It's like, good Lord, dude, who the fuck are you? Who even are you? The son of somebody, you know.
Right.
But I'm not trying to try. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Killer Bees' son's a great dude. I know that. Good guy. Very fun.
Yeah.
But just had a rough weekend, is, you know, worked out for me.
I think it's that simple advice that for whatever reason just hits the hardest. Like Joey Diaz was on, it was actually on Hot Ones, and he was telling some story, and it was just real quick. He was like, oh shit, I don't know what's up with my video.
It's lagging there a little bit.
There it is. All right. That was wild. I was having a little party right there. But
awesome.
It was a real quick one, and he just goes, you win some, you lose some, you move the fuck on. And again, super simple, you win some, you lose some, like I've heard that a bunch of times, but for whatever reason, it was the context of it, like leading up, like that's what life is, like you can't dwell on something, and then you just move on. I don't know, I like that simple advice.
That's all it is. We're all trying to get like a secret or a shortcut, and not just comedy. I think in life in general, everyone's looking for like these secrets or somebody has something figured out. And it's like, it all comes down to the simple shit of like, you fuck up, you win, you lose, you move on. Mm-hmm. Don't give up and just keep doing the best you can. Like that's all it is. But you know, everybody wants to, they think there's a loophole, and some people just get lucky. You know what I mean? There's a lot of luck involved in comedy and in life in general. So it is what it is. But, you know, as soon as you start looking for secrets, I think that's when people will manipulate you and then they'll start selling you a bunch of bullshit that you don't really need because you're like, oh, you got it figured out. And they're like, oh, yeah, I got it figured out. Pay me $19.99 a month and I'll let you know how I got it figured out.
Yeah.
And it's just all nonsense anyway. It's all this simple shit that it comes down to. And it's You know, it's the same. What's the secret to happiness? It's like just fucking treat people nice and, you know, love your family the best you can and yeah. just, you know, don't betray people. Yeah. That's all it is.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, just don't be a dick. You know, like
that's it.
It's not that hard. Again, I know there's a lot of things out there that make you like invoke these feelings of like, I hate that or this sucks. But like, if you could just block that out, like, I don't know, you feel a lot better. I know that.
Yeah, just keep your head down and just keep moving forward. That's, yeah. you know, that's all you can do because it's going to end regardless of what you do in life, what you accomplish. It's all going to end very, very badly. We're all going to die and it's probably not going to be, everyone's, I just want to pass away in my bed. And it's like, you know, it's probably not going to happen.
Right. All right. It doesn't know, happen.
It's going to end bad. There's something that, I think it was Kevin Smith was, I think when his dad died, he said his dad was always like this cool, calm, like collected person his whole mm-hmm. life. And I think he was with his dad when he died. And he said, as cool as a cucumber, cool hand Luke, his whole entire life. He said the moment that death came for his father, his dad was screaming. And I can't remember if it was on Opie and Anthony or where this was, but he's like, you got to keep in mind, no matter what happens, we're all going to go out screaming.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. whether it's out loud or inside or whatever it is, but, you know, it's just something to keep in mind to try and not, you know, worry about shit too much. It's all going to end bad, so just do the best you can. Just fucking keep, you know.
Have this
and,
out.
Keep the blinders on, too. Don't let all these other motherfuckers get in your way, man. Right. Because they would love to. They'd love to throw you off your path.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that.
So speaking of path, you've had, like I said before, you're a bit of a journeyman. Started in Flint, Michigan. You went to Maui. Like I said, Atlanta. There's Seattle, D.C. You're in Nashville now. There's so many questions about the road that I have, but as someone who's a little bit overweight, I'm a big foodie. What's some of the best food? What's some of the best food on the road that you've had? Like, where are the best spots? Like, we can go city by city, but like that would be all day. So like. When you think about the best food you've had, what comes to mind?
Anything that was free, dude. That's pretty much it. Well, that's like, I mean, Maui has great food just because it's so fresh, or mm-hmm. you know, everything just tastes so good out there. Because it's, for the most part, everything what you're eating out there. How I was living anyway was stuff that either we were growing or, you know, is like local fish or something like that. So all that yeah. was good. But a lot of my travels, dude, as far as like being on the road, now things are a little bit different because I'm making a little bit of money and, yeah. and I'm with my buddy Aaron. And, you know, he takes, when we're out together, he takes real good care of everybody and all that shit. So it's mm-hmm. like, it's nice. But like, really, when I was in Seattle and doing all my road shit, I didn't have any fucking money, dude. I was living in my van. Like, I just wanted to keep doing comedy. So I really spent a lot of time at Kroger eating yeah. bananas and salads and yeah. stuff like that, you know? So I'm really not the best person for, like, the food world just because yeah. And now, again, as things have gotten better, I might have the more opportunities to try different things and get out and go, okay, what's the good food here? Let's go here. But like, you know, I'm going to New Orleans and I'm living in my van and people are like, dude, you got to go to this one spot. It's a little bit expensive, but it's going to be well worth it. Yeah. It's like, it ain't going to be, it's a fucking bowl of soup, dude. It ain't going to be worth it. I don't care. I don't care how good it is in my world. It ain't going to be worth it because yeah. it's $30 for a cup of soup. And that's like, I need that money for gas right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I mean, and that's, food's good anywhere and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I did have some boudin in Louisiana once, which I've never had before, which was pretty good.
Okay.
That was an interesting little thing. But other than that, everyone wants to, you know, you get, every city has barbecue now at this point in time, it seems like. So, yeah dude, I'm not, I love food. I love any and all food too. And there hasn't been like a spot where it's like, that's like the best food I had. I did have I forget what it was. It was in San Luis Obispo in California.
Okay.
I did a show and a guy and I, oh dude, the burritos in, damn, I forget where it was, but somewhere in goddamn California, of course, it was like King's Point or something like that, middle of fucking, just the middle of the state, California, but they had some fire Mexican food out there, I do remember that, but other than that, dude, I love food, but I just haven't, a lot of my travels have not, I was just in a place where I couldn't be out there eating and getting out to restaurants and enjoying all the finer things that everybody has.
I got you, but I hear you're a big leftover fan.
Love leftovers, dude. I always have, you know. Just growing up, we always made sure we never threw anything away. Uh-huh. And a lot of that has to do with, like, working at restaurants and just seeing the amount of waste that actually, it's hundreds of pounds of food every single day from every single restaurant in this whole country that's just wasting food. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's part of it bugs me. It's like, you know, people just, I don't know why people just don't take the shit home or do something with it. And I was working at a restaurant in DC and it was all like organic, like salads, sandwich stuff.
Oof, yeah.
And when they first opened, they had a rule where whatever you didn't use for the day, you had to throw away or take home. So we started giving it to like homeless people and we got in trouble for it. Cause apparently if you give food to homeless people and they get sick, they can sue the restaurant.
Oh wow.
So it's such a fucked up system to like just wasting food and throwing it away and shit like that. But yeah, I love leftovers. Hell yeah. I'm all about them.
Is there anything that's better as a leftover than it is while it's served? Like
chili.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. Chili is like, chili is the main one for sure, just because you know, if you make the, let it, even if you don't, what I like to do is make it and then put it in the fridge overnight. Don't even eat it at all when you first make it. Really let it stew and then have it. But that might be the only one.
Okay, I got you. And then,
What do you think? Do you think there's a food that's better left over than as served?
I mean, there are certain things that can make it better, as in like, so if I have leftover pizza and I forget about it, and then I like open the fridge and I'm like, oh fuck, I got this leftover pizza. Like that's like finding a 20 in your pocket, you know? Like that's such a good feeling, you know? So
it's not that it tastes better. It's the inside. Yeah. Just the feeling that you get. Like, oh fuck, pizza. Hell
it's
yeah.
The lead up. Yeah, I love that. So
that's awesome.
It doesn't happen
but
too often.
Pizza's
though.
The best.
Yeah, I love pizza. It's Chicago.
You can eat it any way too when it's leftover. It's like you can eat it cold. True. Air fryer. You can microwave. It ain't gonna be that great, but you can still do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been doing a stove top recently. You get a little cast iron.
There you go.
The
crust
real crispy. Yeah.
Hell yeah. So on to another. It's not exactly food, but
I know where it's going.
Another thing you're an advocate of. Big fan of eating ass.
I wish I didn't, but I do. It just became a fucking thing for me somehow. It happened in Jackson, Tennessee, is when it really happened.
Yeah.
Because I had some ass eating jokes that I've been doing for a while.
Yeah.
But I was out there for I forget what it was, a weekend. I forget. It was with my buddy Brad Sativa. He's a Nashville comic too.
Okay.
But it was after the show. And some guy comes over and he goes, that's the booty man right there. And then we came back to Nashville and then it just stuck. And then all of a sudden Aaron Weber's making posters for me and shit like that. And then
goddamn.
Somebody gave me a luchador mask. So now I have like the booty man character and everything. And
oh, wow. It's
I got to get back into, I gotta bring him back into the world, man. Yeah. He went away there for a little while. I just got to get tired of it. Because all of a sudden, everywhere I go, everyone, for some reason, that's like the only thing that people remembered about me. And it's like, I gotta fucking take a break from this shit, dude. Because I'm doing, you know, I was doing like, it's like maybe like 5 minutes worth of ass eating jokes. And it's like, I got another 20, 25 that nobody mentions.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, what the fuck am I doing, you know?
Yeah,
I love it. I think it's, I just like the filthiness of it. It's great.
There's so many,
I've heard Shane Torres talk about it. There's so many jokes about it now. And just how, like, how crazy it is that, like, we'll look at, like, a Dorito on the floor and be like, no, I'm good. Like, well, the floor can have it. But then it's like we look at an asshole and we're like, you know what? Time to eat. Like,
yeah. Well, I've never been against a floor Dorito either, dude. But see, if it goes on the floor, I pick it up and eat it. I'm not one of those people, man.
Yeah, I feel you. There's the 5-second rule people, the 10-second, the 20-second, and the, well, it still looks good people as well. So.
Yeah. Even if it's a little bit stale, I'll still give the Dorito a go.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to surprise a lady, too. You know, when she doesn't expect it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, I've been with women who have, like, seen my comedy. They know what I talk about. They know I'm, like, into ass eating. And then they act surprised when I'm doing it. And it's like, what the fuck did you think you were getting into, right, sweetheart? Right. Like, come on. I gave you the playbook. You know what I'm doing.
Yeah. You knew this was coming. But, oh, man.
I love it. I love having my headache, too. It feels great. You know, I'm not above it. It feels absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It really does.
We need more advocates for that. We got to normalize it. It's
Dude, I think so too. Everyone's so like ashamed of it, but you know, everyone's so, you know, we're pro body, pro sex all nowadays. Everyone's like, oh, you're disgusting. It's like, ah, come on. Why are you judging? We're not supposed to be hating people.
Right.
It feels great. And I recommend everybody does it.
It's funny because I got Ebony Mystique. She's an adult film actress. Say that. She's going to be on next and probably going to have the same conversation.
No shit. That's awesome.
Probably going to, 2 episodes in a row, we're
dude,
talking about
cool.
Rimming. Yeah.
No, have you had other adult actresses on here before? No. Is she going to be the first one?
She's the first one. I actually heard her on The Bonfire and the one with Big J and Dan Soder. And I was like, you know what? Why not? I'll reach out to her. And then she emailed back. So just like.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's such a good. I reach out a lot to people, and it's just such a. I can really, not judge because that's a hard word, or a strong word, but like you can get a sense of how good a person is. Like I feel like the people who respond and are down to do it, like that's so generous and nice of them. Like you and you know everyone else that's done this. Like because this isn't like Joe Rogan or something like that. This isn't huge. But you guys take the time, and I really appreciate it because I know busy lifestyles. So,
yeah.
But anyway, you also, I just got the notification. We got 8 minutes left, but.
Oh, shit, that went by quick.
I know, man. You know, it's. Good Lord. Time flies when you're talking about eating ass. So, that's what they say.
Apparently so.
But you also have a podcast, Joe Kelly's Psychedelic Experience, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What do you feel more comfortable doing? Do you feel more comfortable on stage doing shows? Like that's where you belong? Or do you feel more comfortable just doing the podcast and kind of talking, like letting everything out? There's no really that pressure, like you have to deliver constantly, you know, funny stuff. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a comfort. I don't know which one I necessarily feel more comfortable as.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, my podcast is usually, I'll have people on here and there, but for the most part, it's just me kind of talking or whatever, talking about news or, you know, trying to find some sort of meaning or analogy for life or something like that, just reflecting on the past, sharing stories. And
I love
really,
that.
I think that's what stand-up is, too. There's an audience there, but, you know, really it's just me up there in my own head for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know which one I feel pretty comfortable doing both, but there is a part of, like, doing stand-up where it does feel it's been the one place that I found. I was always a pretty shy kid growing up and, mm-hmm. like, kind of always like wacky and I guess a little bit inappropriate or whatever. It's always kind of like the back of the bus or like, you know, hey, how about this shit? Let's talk shit about this guy so he can't hear us or something like that. But getting on stage, I just feel like I can be myself up there, you know? And it's, and that's the funny thing about doing stand-up is like, you know, you could be telling you could be telling the truth and everyone's like, oh, he's just joking. So it's like, it's a good way to be able to be vulnerable and honest to a degree, mm-hmm. and, you know, and go, ha, I'm just joking when I'm saying this kind of stuff. You know, there's a line that I think you can tiptoe of being open and vulnerable and, you know, I like that. And connecting with people feels good too. Making people laugh and, mm-hmm. and get involved. And then, you know, sometimes it means the podcast has been fine. Like I've had some of my listeners have been real cool and mm-hmm. real awesome people, but like doing stand up is like, sometimes after the show, it's like, it means more to people than just laughing. And I don't completely understand that aspect of it yet, but like, you really touch people somehow. And I like that aspect of it is pretty cool too.
Yeah. I mean, that heckler that you were, you know, flirting with or whatever, like even she was saying like, it's been a while since I've been out and like heard everyone laughing and having a good time. So like, even though she was interrupting the show, there was part of me that was like, that's also kind of sweet. Like she's like been around just sadness for so long and now she's at a super funny show. So I think, I haven't done stand-up since before COVID. And I would love to get your opinion. I'm 29. Is there a window? Like, is my window shut because I'm 29 now? Like, have I missed it? Or, like, is there a window for stand-up?
Not at all. It's like, here's the, like, younger people have no ideas at all. You know what I mean? Like, they have no life experience. They really have nothing to talk about. It can be funny and whatever. You can make jokes and shit like that. But, like, you know, that's why it's like Ron White's still doing it. And all these people and Joe Rogan and everybody else. And that, you know, it takes people 10, 15 years to even get to that position most of the time. Again, there's luck involved and people will cut you breaks and shit like that. But, no. Yeah. I think the more life you live, the more life experience you have, there's more to, you have a deeper bag to dig in. You have, you know, to share with people. You have more that people can relate to, too. You're older. Yeah. You know, a lot of 20-year-olds aren't going to comedy shows necessarily, unless it's like somebody they want, if it's like a cute guy or a cute girl, someone their age or whatever. But you know what I mean? It's people who have lived life, who've had jobs, have had people die, have had families, have had been through divorces, have been to jail, been through all this shit. So it's like the more you have of that, comedy, unless you start going senile, I don't think there's a cap on it for how long you can do it, really. As long as your mind's still there and you keep living life, I think I like the older people anyway. They got more to talk about. They just do.
And more experience,
So no, dude, fucking get out there. If you want to do it, just do it.
Oh, yeah.
I know you got kids and shit, but like, you know, you got to find a way. You got to find a way to do it if it's something you want to do. And I don't think there's a cap on it at all. Right. I didn't start till I was 25, which I guess, you know, might be a little bit late. But then my buddy Monty Mitchell, he didn't start till he was well into his 30s. And, you know, it all depends. It's a different path for everybody, but the more life you've lived, the more you're going to have to say on stage. That's for damn sure. I do know that.
Hell yeah. I love that. That's actually, because 2 minutes left, so I think that's a great play. That's like a great way to end. I don't know. Like, it was like, that was like uplifting almost, you know, and inspirational and all that.
Yeah, it's not fucking modeling, dude. It's fucking comedy. You can be fat and ugly and do it. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. It's in dark rooms. It's in basements. It's all adults there. You know, all the 20-year-olds are all, you know, getting drunk, spreading STDs to one another. That's what they're doing. They ain't coming to comedy shows, really.
Yeah. well, do you have anything that you wanted to plug real quick before we go?
Man, just joekellycomedy.com is my website, my podcast, Joe Kelly's Psychedelic Experience. And I mean, that's pretty much what I got. I got an album out, Ladies and Leftovers. You can listen to it on Spotify. It's also on Apple Music. You can watch it on YouTube. We filmed it down in Atlanta. And then I just got, you know, I'm on the road quite a bit, but you can find all the dates and everything at joekellycomedy.com. But those are my three main things, I suppose.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, I love that name, Ladies and Leftovers. So good.
It took me forever to come up with a name. I went through so many names. And I'm sure. Like, oh, this is perfect. I kept asking people, and people kept giving me shitty names. And then I was just sitting by myself. I was like, here's the name for it.
Sometimes when you know, it just comes to you whenever, you know, randomly.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. All right, well, Joe Kelly, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And can't wait till you come down to Chicago, or up to Chicago, I guess, if you're in Nashville.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Thank you for having me on, and we'll be in touch.
All right, sounds good, man.
Appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too, brother.
All right.
All right, so that was Joe Kelly, super funny comedian, like I said in the intro. Did you doubt me? I hope you didn't doubt me. And if you did doubt me, well, goddamn it, he just disproved you. Funny dude, super cool. Just, I mean, I like it when someone's cool and funny, because when you're cool, it's very easy to be a dick, you know? When you just, I don't know, but... When you're cool and funny like that, and he's just super nice. Like, I wanted to, he was given that, when I asked about the window for comedy, and he's given that whole speech, I was like, this is a beautiful way to end it. You know, like, I don't know. He's good with his words, so that's probably why he's in the line of work that he's in. Appreciated his time, and maybe we'll have him on again someday. That'd be really cool too. I don't know. Like sometimes, like Larry Bagby ended up getting his number, you know? I still talk to Brian Collins all the time when a new horror movie comes out. And Brucker Horror, like, you know, sometimes I become not friends, but like at least acquaintances with these people. And hopefully Joe Kelly will be one of those. If not, though, I appreciate his time today. Great interview. We'll be back to wrap this thing up burrito style. He was just talking about burritos from California, but God damn it, I'll take a burrito from the Chipotle down the street right now. I'm hungry. You know what? I think I'm just going to make myself a burger. That's not a burrito, but it's fine. I'll be all right. I'll get a burrito in due time. All right, y'all. Stick with me for the outro, episode 60. That was Joe Kelly. Be sure to follow him on all his stuff. And then if you want to check out his podcast, Joe Kelly's Psychedelic Experience, super cool name. And then also it's what he said it was. I've listened to some episodes. It's kind of just him talking about life. There's some current events going on here and there, but a lot of it is advice and the times he's had, and it's cool. It's when someone knows what they're doing, you could listen to him talk, and he's one of those people. So. All right, y'all. Be back after this very brief 3-second break. We'll wrap this thing up burrito style. You know, maybe I will have a burrito. A burger's a lot easier. I could just fire up the grill. No, fuck it. I'm going to get a burrito. No, I'm going to do a burger. All right, you know what I am going to do? I'm going to end this segment, and then we're going to wrap it up. Okay. Burrito style. Yeah. All right, everybody, and we're back for the last time of this episode. Not for the last time ever. We're not ended on episode 60. We're going for triple digits. We're going for quadruple digits. Maybe. We'll see if we get there. I don't know. Who knows what I'm going to be doing down the line? Do I continue this until I go senile and can't do it anymore? Like Joe Kelly was saying, is that the only point where I can stop? Like, am I going to be in my 70s like, hey, everybody, welcome to Feel Good Friday. Let's talk about my dick. I don't know. We're going to find out. Right now I'm 29, and I want to keep doing this for the foreseeable future. So God damn it, that's what I'm going to do. You're welcome, I guess. Or maybe sorry. I don't know. It depends on your opinion of this podcast. I'm hoping it's a you're welcome situation. And not a sorry situation, but you never know. You never know. Everyone's got their own thing. But that was Joe Kelly. I hope you guys really enjoyed that interview as much as I did. Super cool getting to talk to him and know a little bit more about him. He emailed me right after and said, you know, he said thank you. And that was a really nice guy, really cool guy. Give him a follow, give him a like, whatever it is you kids are doing nowadays on the social medias, on the webs. He actually had a bit I was going to bring up because I was just in Disney and I watch Disney Plus all the time because Finn loves it. And right now, Finn's in a Toy Story phase. Monsters, Inc. was his shit for a while. It was Monsters, Inc. and Monsters, U. He was big into the monsters, Mike Wazowski and Sully. He just loved it all. And he still does, but, like, right now, he's, like, when Toy Story's on, like, that's his shit. He's like, nothing can bother me. I'm watching Toy Story. The rest of the world can just fuck off. That's Finn's attitude when Toy Story is on the TV. So right now, he's in a Toy Story phase, and, Joe Kelly actually has a bit about Buzz Lightyear and how he's gay now. But I don't know. I only watched Lightyear one time, the new Lightyear. I know people were upset about it because they brought in characters that were gay. I think it was a lesbian couple. And then same with this new Strange World. Like there's a gay couple in that and people are upset about it. And I don't get upset about it at all. Like it, to me, it's whatever. It's just another love story. That's all it is. Like, it's literally just two people who have feelings for each other. Don't make it a thing, but people make it a thing. But, he has a funny bit about Buzz Lightyear. I don't know if Buzz Lightyear is gay. I can't speak on that. Cannot speak on that. He might be. But he also, you know, could be slaying puss. I do know, in Toy Story 2, there is some serious heavy petting going on between him and Bo Peep. Now, Bo Peep, I thought, was Woody's girl. 1 and 2, it's Bo Peep and Woody. Bo Peep loves that Woody. All about the Woody. Loves her some Woody. I've milked that joke completely. Milking was another dick reference. But anyway, it's Woody and Bo Peep. However, there's two signs that I'm like, I think Bo Peep and Buzz are having a thing. First sign is in the beginning of the movie, Woody's looking for his hat. You know, it's a big concern for Woody. And Bo Peep is like, hey, Andy loves you. He's going to take you to cowboy camp with or without that hat. Calm down. And Woody's like, oh, I know, I'm just worried because it's the one time of year. And she pulls him in with her little lamb, sheep, herder fucking stick thing. And she goes, you're cute when you care. And Woody goes, whoa, not in front of Buzz. And then Bo goes, let him watch. So that's like the first sign that I'm like, Bo wants Buzz to see that. Get him a little jealous, turn him on, whatever the point is, you know. That's some high school level activity right there. Like, hey, I'm going to make out with this guy to make you jealous. So I hope you're watching. It's a level of cucking, I think. I just don't know if Buzz is aware. And then later, Woody gets kidnapped by Wayne Knight, or, you know, the chicken man who runs Al's Toy Barn. The Al of Al's Toy Barn. And so they're going on this rescue mission to go get him. And Buzz is leading the way. And Bo Peep straight up goes, hey, when you find Woody, give him this for me. Smooches him on the lips. And Buzz is all awkward about it. As well you should be. If I went to go rescue my best friend. And before I left, my best friend was like, hey, give Mike this for me when you get him. And I'm like, I'd be like, you know, I'm just going to get him and then I'll bring him back and you can give it to him yourself. There's no need. So Bo wants Buzz. I don't know if Buzz wants Bo. I don't know if that's a two-way street, but Bo is, I'm just going to say it. We should start calling her Ho Peep. You know what I mean? Start calling her Ho Peep because she's getting around. And I'm sure while they were out on the rescue mission and Woody was gone and Buzz was gone, she found another port in the storm, if you know what I mean. I don't know who else was left at that time because Rex was gone, Slinky was gone, Ham was gone, Potato Head was gone. Maybe she did some experimenting with Mrs. Potato Head. Her and Mrs. Potato Head got a little, you know, a little freaky. I don't know. The unrated version of Toy Story 2 has not been released, and that came out in 1999, so I don't know if it's ever going to get released. I hope it does, because I'm interested to see those tapes. You know, I'm sure, I don't know if the Andy was kind of, he was a little bit older in Toy Story 2, so I don't think the baby cam, the baby monitor was a thing. So I don't know if you would have caught anything on there, but I would like to see the unreleased tapes of what happened when they were out on the rescue mission. Maybe even, you know, while they were planning the rescue mission. Bo Peep went up to Buzz and was like, hey, do you need some help planning the mission? And then just like, you know, he's like, oh, to infinity and beyond. Because that's what I imagine he would say while, you know. But anyway, this has been a, this has been another weird topic brought to you by me. Hope you enjoyed that little end segment. It's worth, you know, if you go back and you watch Toy Story 2, just keep an eye out for those two parts. You could tell by the body language, the tone of voice, she's got a thing for Buzz. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm a little bit crazy. Pequeño loco? Little loco? Little crazy? Maybe. But I don't think I'm totally wrong here. Those Toy Story writers aren't too slick. I see what you're doing. You're making it a little love triangle. That's best case scenario. It's a love triangle. And Woody and Buzz are Eiffel Towering Bo Peep. Worst case, it's just a cruel, cruel affair. Bo Peep and Buzz. And Woody's going to find out one day. And, you know, there's going to be more than a snake in his boot, if you know what I mean. There's going to be a pistol in his hand, and it's going to be pointed at Buzz, and some shit's going to go down. I don't know. Maybe Toy Story 5 is going to have the epic climax, no pun intended again, that I am looking for after noticing this information. I got to go back and watch the other ones, the first one, the third, the fourth, because maybe there's more, although she isn't in the third. Maybe Woody found out about the affair and excommunicado. I could be wrong on that too. But anyway, that's my theory. That's my 2 cents. That's my 50 cent. Go shorty. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed the Joe Kelly interview again. And hopefully my Oscars recap at the beginning wasn't too awful to get through. Again, I was genuinely trying to pronounce those names, and I was genuinely having a really hard time, and I am genuinely sorry if I sounded racist whilst pronouncing those names. I swear I'm not. If I have a chance to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, I'm going to. And maybe I'll like it better than Top Gun Maverick. I doubt it, but maybe I will. So, all right, y'all. That was episode 60 in the motherfucking books. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Again, Joe Kelly, such a cool guy. Go follow him on the Instas and the Facebooks and the Twitters and the whatnots. Keep an eye out for his tour dates. I know I will when he comes to Chicago. I'm going to be on that. Not on that, like, metaphorically on that, as in buying tickets to the show. You get it. Did I just make it weird to close it out? I did. All right. Thank you so much. Episode 61 will be up next because that's how numbers work. I'm smart sometimes. Not a lot, though.